series today, Money Matters. And a brand new series. And so again, follow along. You can do so with the notes provided in your bulletin, or you can log on to the YouVersion Bible app or our app and follow along with the event there with exclusive content you could share online as we go through today. So we're talking about money, and when it comes to the church and money, this can be a sensitive subject. One, because the church has been known throughout history to sell indulgences or money to build cathedrals. You have people asking you to send their money in so they can buy a new plane. People selling this, that, and the other thing. And so this idea of the church being money grabbers can sometimes be true. On the other hand, it can also be a little unfair to say that, because many of the charitable organizations that do so much good in this world have been started by the church. And so what we see is that while something can be true, it can also be not true at the same time. These blanket statements. So what we're trying to look at today is having a biblical view of how we, you know, save, how we give our money, all that goes around that. You know, I know for me, when I moved here, 4 years ago, moved back home, and we began to start this church. Money, I had so much in the bank. Now, I had no debt at all, zero. I had over 40 grand in my bank account. And then life changes. Then suddenly, you know, you buy a house. I only had money in my bank because I sold my house. But, you know, I buy a house here, maybe get a vehicle, I had another kid, and then suddenly what happens? You go from no debt and money in the bank to lots of debt and no money in the bank. Maybe negative money in the bank. I don't know, it depends, right? And so life changes, and we all have this. So money really does matter. Why? Because we have made it matter. So this series, we're going to examine your heart and your practices and look at biblical principles around these things and how they affect our lives. The reality is most of the stress that is in our lives in some way is connected to money. They say most divorces begin with money being the issue. And then it compounds upon that. Most of the stress in our life, it's usually because of money. Whether it's because you have to work a job or you have to earn money that you don't like. Not the money that you don't like, but the job. You have to work a job you don't like, which causes stress in you. Right? But we become ruled by this money idea. And so we want you to implement these practices in your life so that your lives can be alleviated of so much stress, that your marriages can focus on the things that are important and not just the issues having to do with money in your life. Did you know that Jesus talked more about money than he ever did about heaven or hell? By far, he talked way more about money. And it's almost like, I'm just emptying all my pockets here. It's almost like Jesus cared more about us living like people who would inherit the kingdom of God than people who were trying to escape to it. Jesus prayed, "Your kingdom come, your will be done." He didn't say, "Your kingdom be there so I can leave this earth and go." He wants us to live a life that is worthy of inheriting the kingdom of God, to strive for that. So throughout this series, we are going to look at a couple topics. Number one, who do you serve? Number two, stewardship. Next week. Week after that, the T word. It's a bad word for some people. And lastly, generosity. Generosity. And how do these fit in a biblical context? So as we begin today, who do you serve? Did you realize that you are a slave? Did you know that? Did you know you were a slave? Leo Tolstoy, the Russian author, wrote, "Money is a new form of slavery and distinguishable from the old simply by the fact that it is impersonal, that there is no human relation between the master and the slave. We are ruled by money. It controls our lives. We have become slaves to the almighty dollar. All the stress that is in our life, so much of it, surrounds the fact that we don't have enough money or we want more money. We work jobs that we hate just because we have to survive. We pile up debt for momentary joy. Let's get something to make me feel good. But then we find it's fleeting, and then we have to buy something else. Spend it on this thing or that thing. We get possessions that we can't afford, and most of the time we actually don't really want them. Have you guys watched Tidying Up with Marie Kondo? Kondo? Is that his name? Yes? Okay, I guess. No? Okay. It's a good show. You see all these people, and they pile their clothes on their bed, and it's unbelievable. It's like this tall. And they're like, oh, well, they throw out like 3 or 4 garbage bags worth of clothes. And they're like, oh, I didn't even know I had this. And it still has the tags on it. We fill our lives with all these possessions. We become enslaved to the almighty dollar. But here's the thing. I want more for you. I want more for me. And I believe that God wants more for us. So if you have a Bible with you, you can find one on the seat, or if you brought one, or if you have your phone, you can log on to the YouVersion Bible app or our app. Follow along, as we mentioned. And we have our text there, returning to Matthew, that's in the New Testament. All right. Matthew chapter 6. Jesus says this. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moths and vermin destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves your treasures in heaven, where moths and vermin do not destroy, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The eye is the lamp of the body. If your eyes are healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eyes are unhealthy, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light within you is darkness, how great is that darkness? No one can serve two masters. Either you will hate the one and love the other, or you will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. So Jesus says this in the Sermon on the Mount, if you've heard of that. Sermon on the Mount, it's basically Jesus is telling the people how to step up, how to go to the next level. A careful reading of the Torah reveals that a God who is about a relationship with us and living in that relationship is based on this God who loves us. But due to our selfish nature, this becomes a non-reality, a relationship with God. We turn from God. We do the things that impede relationships with each other and with God. And he's longing to draw us back. And this is what the Sermon of the Mount is all about. So he talks about so many things that relate to our lives. He talks about marriage. He talks about anger. He talks about lust. He talks about so many things that fill up our life. And this right here, this talk about money, is right there in it. So he talks about two masters. When I picture, my initial picture, when I think of someone, when Jesus says, who serves money, I always think of Scrooge McDuck from DuckTales. Anybody else watch that as a kid? Yeah, people my age. All right, good. And, you know, he'd stand up on that platform and he would jump in the money and he would swim around. And I always imagined what it would be like to swim in all those gold coins. I always thought it would be fun. you know, as you get older, you realize there's not really a whole lot of space when you dive into that for your body. But, you know, I used to pretend in my room I was swimming in money because we didn't have any at home. But you know, he used to swim money. But this is not really what God is, what Jesus is talking about here. He's talking about our behaviors. He's talking about our behaviors. Do our behaviors serve money? Now, Scrooge McDuck did serve money, but it's not just swimming in his money. The things that we do show that we serve money. But when we look and we think about where we store our treasure, we have to take a look at our behaviors. We have to take a look at our behaviors. What do we do with money? Does it show that it controls us? Or do we control it? And this isn't, again, it's easy to demonize money when you hear this. And so you have people saying, well, you know, if you're a good Christian, then you need to live on like 1% of what you do. No, I've never heard someone say 1%, but, you know, like you got to live in total poverty. But that's not what Jesus is talking about either. He's not talking about money. We think he is, but he's actually talking about us. Money is an evil. Money is an object. It's our practices with money that are evil. Money isn't selfish. Money isn't prideful. And money doesn't compensate for its brokenness. We do that by using the money. This is the struggle. You know, we buy things we want to feed positive emotions, to make us feel better, and then we rack up our credit card bill, and then we feel guilt and insecurity, so then we go buy more things to make ourselves feel good, and then feel guilt and insecurity because we just bought stuff, you know? And instead of saying, enough is enough, we let our emotions rule us, and we serve money, this object. This object that doesn't have hands, doesn't have a mouth, it isn't lording over us, we allow it to. We have this fear of being broke, or a fear of not fitting in, a fear of not having enough, a fear of losing it all. And what happens is we end up walking this tightrope, trying not to fall in the shark-infested waters that lay beneath us. All the while, God is saying that he has something better for us. Erwin McManus writes, "What we fear is what we're subject to. Our fears define our master. Where there is no fear, there is no control." And so we fear these things in our lives. We fear what other people think. We fear not having enough. We fear all this. And what happens? It ends up controlling us. Consumerism, fear of not having enough. And this is exactly what Jesus says to strive away from. That's why we are to place our treasure in heaven. What it means is we place our treasure, we place the things that are valuable to us in eternal things, not temporary things, not things that can waste away with rust. And it's not that having things are bad. But is that where we put our trust? No, we put our trust in God. We put our trust in him. We look at his teachings and what he tells us to do, the biblical principles, which we are going to look at as we go through this series. But this is an important step we need to take. We need to decide that enough is enough, that we will not have two masters, that we will have one master, and it will be Christ. Because there is something more precious, something where moth and rust cannot get to. And that's the internal investment. A little past this passage, Jesus continues teaching about money. And he says this. This is in the context of talking about money. "But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own." Don't worry about tomorrow. Place your trust in God. Now, it doesn't mean we don't prepare. You know, Scripture doesn't contradict itself. And that, the, you know, the Proverbs talks about preparing. We're going to talk about that in the stewardship section. But when we begin to chase the good life, what this world deems good, we will find it continually fleeting. It will continually be ahead of us. We will continually be striving, trying to get ahead. We need to allow God to rule in our lives. This is the good life. Stanley Grant says, "For Jesus, the good life is not a quest for happiness, but the pursuit of God's kingdom. The good life is life under God's reign, or life in accordance with the will of the King." Even our Lord's induction, "Believe the gospel," carried with it an ethical aspect. Those who would respond rightly must be covered by the gospel. The good life is finding ourselves in the gospel of who Jesus is. But instead, we find ourselves running the rat race, trying to get the next thing. But we're just in that wheel of perpetual motion, going, going, striving, 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 and we keep going, going, and we never get to the top. There is hope and there is purpose. God is the only master who's worthy to be served. We need to acknowledge that he knows best. So we need to ask ourselves continually, who are we serving? Who are we serving in our life? In everything that we do, I think, especially when it comes to this, we don't realize how enslaved we are. And we need to ask ourselves this in every decision that we make, right? We're about to make a decision. Okay, who are we serving in this moment? Are we serving something else other than God, or are we serving God? You know, when we go shopping, do we go shopping because we need something? Or are we shopping because it makes us feel good? Or we think what others will say when they see us with that lovely pair of blouse and slacks. I don't know. Is that what people wear? Right? People looking at my nice track pants, right? Man, they're going to look at that stripe down the side, and they're going to go, "Wow, did you get those at Walmart?" And I'm going to be like, "Yeah, $24.99. You know, do we need them? And yes, I did need pants. I had none that would fit. Right? Or are we doing it for some other reason? How about vacations? Are we going because we've saved up and we afford it? Or are we going and looking to it as the sustainer and the refresher of our lives instead of looking to God to be that thing? Is our hope put in that vacation? "Oh, if I could just get away, then it will be okay." Or are we looking to God? How about the food? Are we staying in our budget? Are we buying the things that we need? Or are we buying based on gluttony, wastefulness, or maybe even laziness? "I can't be bothered to do anything, so I'm going to get my Michelina dinner, even though I can't afford it," right? There's these things in our life. We see a bag of chips. We're like, "Well, I can't afford it, but I really want it." I hope you can afford a bag of chips. But, you know, but we have to ask ourselves these questions. You know, just as the eye, Jesus talks about the eye bringing the light, being able to see. Being able to see is a lot healthier than not being able to see. Anyone who is not being able to see, what happens? You bump into things, right? It can be detrimental to your health. And it's this analogy, the eye is like the heart. And when our heart is not right, it affects our soul, it affects how we live our life. How we respond to situations is determined by our heart. And is our heart aligned to what Christ is teaching us? Because if our heart is aligned, it determines where our life will lead. We need to surrender our lives to Christ. We need our hearts focused on God and kingdom life. And when we do that, our behaviors will begin to change into healthy behaviors. And I think this is important to know as we travel through this series. This is about heart issues. You know, we can think it's about behaviors and we can change behaviors, but all you're doing is changing a behavior. it will begin to recess if we don't deal with the heart issues in our life. You know, there's the question that we need to ask ourselves that's a very popular question. Are you working for your money, or is your money working for you? And if you are working for your money, guess what? You're a slave. Guess what? I'm a slave. Probably most of us are slaves. You know, the Torah, which is the first five books of the Bible, it talks about the Israelite people who were enslaved by Egypt. And God does miraculous work, and he delivers them, and they go, and they start being chased. So God's delivered them miraculously. But as they begin to be chased, they have an issue. Pharaoh's army begins to come after them. So again, if you have your Bible or on the app, you can turn to Exodus 14. It's near the front of the Bible, the second book there. It says, as Pharaoh approached, the Israelites looked up, and there were the Egyptians marching after them. They were terrified and cried out to the Lord. They said to Moses, was it because there were no graves in Egypt that you brought us to the desert to die? What have you done to us by bringing us out of Egypt? Didn't we say to you in Egypt, leave us alone, let us serve the Egyptians? It would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than to die in the desert. Here, God has delivered them miraculously. They're just in another hard situation. And they say, well, it would have been better if we just stayed there. And this is something that reoccurs in their life. You know, as we approach and we look at gaining freedom, as we become no longer slaves to the turmoil in our lives, there will be hard moments that come against us. But hard moments don't reveal how bad our situation is. They reveal whether we are living in the freedom Christ has brought us or still living in a slave mentality. The Israelites were free, but they weren't living like they were free. They were still living like they were slaves. They weren't living like God had delivered them miraculously and that he would do it again, that he would preserve them. Instead, they were living as captive people saying, well, can't do anything about it. Just another hard situation. Would have been better if I just kept living how I was. It wasn't perfect, but hey, at least I was happy sometimes. There is something better. Our hard moments don't determine who Jesus is. There is freedom. No matter what your financial situation is today, whether you are free, whether you are a slave, Jesus came to bring us life. No matter what situation you are in, whether it seems impossible or not, guess what? The eternal consequences of our actions seemed impossible. Yet Jesus delivered us. He brought us freedom. And if he can deliver us from the eternal consequences, he can deliver us from the temporal consequences in our life. We need to surrender our lives to him. Jesus declared, I came so that they may have real and eternal life, more and better life than they ever dreamed of. There is a better life. Salvation isn't something that happens out there. Salvation happens here and now and brings us to the next life. There is deliverance and there is freedom as we go. Jesus said again, so if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. You are as captive as you think you are. The Son, Jesus Christ, he has set you free. But now it's time that we begin to live like it. We begin to live like people who are free. All right, we're going to open it up for our question and response time. So if you have a question about something that was said, maybe you want to push back on something, maybe you need clarity on something or something from the text, we have our roaming mic here, and you just stick your hand up. will bring the mic by and I'll do my best to respond to your question the best I can. All right. It's amazing when you're so clear that no one has any questions. Or you were so foggy that no one has any questions. All right. All right, moving on, application. So what do I want you to do moving forward? One, take a look. Take a good, honest, hard look at your life. Look at your behaviors. Look at your spending habits. Look at your emotional state when you are buying anything. And see where you are at. You know, sometimes we are slaves and we don't even realize it because we aren't willing to look around. We can be in denial. So begin to take a look at our life and then make a plan. And what I mean by this is don't be passive. It's so easy to say, well, my situation stinks. Nothing I can do about it. There's always something you can do. So don't be passive. Make a budget. Have goals. Align your life with God's will. Begin to develop disciplines in your life. This isn't something that happens overnight, but this is something that happens in the long term. I think it's very important to set goals for our life, especially financial goals. Because if we don't know where we're going to, it's really hard to get there. We just kind of walking. If you want to hitchhike, it's good to know which direction you want to go in. And so that's where goals can be helped. So don't be passive in this. And if you would like some resources in this, I'd be more than happy to help you and direct you in that way. But we're going to go through this series and we're going to talk a little bit more about this next week as we look at stewardship. We're going to look at Jesus and the Proverbs and this guy named Joseph who had this really fancy coat, apparently, according to Donny Osmond. Or is that Andrew Lloyd Webber? I don't know who wrote it. But all right, let's pray. Lord God, we give our lives to you. This subject of money, it can be very sensitive in our culture. We don't like to talk about how much we make or what we do, like what bracket we fall into or how much debt we have. But Lord, help us to be at least honest toward you. Help us to be honest with our spouses if we have one. The people in our life who we are accountable to. Lord, help us take a good hard look at our life and ask ourselves if we are honoring you. And then I pray that instead of shame and condemnation, that we would find your grace and your mercy. That you would bring the things in our life, help us to have the clarity of mind that we can redirect our path. And set up ourselves to have godly principles in our life moving forward so that we are no longer slaves. We are free, free to be serving only you. So Lord, help us in this. In your holy name, Father, amen.